meeting to order. Today we have with us Representative Moses.
Welcome, Representative Moses. And
Vice Chairman, he's kind of a lot lonely over there. Representative Stoltz.
And,
Representative
Petula, Representative Jewell, Representative Hawker, and myself, Co-Chairman Meyer. We do have others coming. It's kind of been a long day today. Appreciate those of you who are here. Okay. Senate Bill 304 first,
and then Senate Bill 55, Senate Bill 200, and then we're going to call it quits for today. So let's go right to Senate Bill 304, which is the airport parking shuttles. That was one that we took up this morning, and I think everybody was pretty much okay with the bill. We needed a new fiscal note, which we should have. Everybody should have in their in the file. This says it will have no fiscal impact.
And no editorial on here anymore.
Yeah, no other comments. So that's stated 14106. Any questions on that? Okay, very good. There's no questions, and everyone's had a chance to read it. Is there any other comments?
Good bill, sir. Time to move it.
Okay. Representative Hawk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 304, Transportation, from House Finance. Let's see, we did not amend that, so with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations. Attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Attached revised fiscal.
Yep.
Okay, any objections? Seeing none, bill passes out of committee. Thank you. Okay, welcome, Representative Kelly. Let's go on now to Senate Bill 55, Agricultural Land. And this is, hold on just a second. Thanks. Just give me a second. Okay, Senate Bill 55 presenting is Senator Wagner. Welcome, Senator. Amy, I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Amy, you're going to cover for your boss. Welcome.
Yes,
and if you could tell us your name and affiliation and tell us what the bill does, please.
For the record, my name is Amy Seitz, staff of Senator Wagner, who is still being pretty involved with PPT, so he's over in the other finance committee. Senate Bill 55 is very similar to a bill you heard not too long ago, House Bill 57. What it does is it gives the Commissioner of DNR the authority to sell remaining rights to certain state-owned lands. The criteria the land has to meet is it has to be no more than 15 acres and used for agricultural purposes. The state had to have originally acquired it through the National Forest under the Alaska Statehood Act. And also the owner of the agricultural rights has to pay the fair market value for the remaining rights. And the main reason Senator Wagner introduced this bill is to resolve an issue that's been going on with some people from Ninilchik and their 15 acres in Hope. The Miller family received the agricultural rights to these 15 acres after they lost some of their own property in the 64 earthquake. And I guess there's some question on whether or not they should have received the full rights to those lands. And through years of working with DNR and the Millers and whoever was in office at the time, we finally came up with the language in Senate Bill 55 as the only option they have to resolve this issue. So with that, I would be more than happy to answer any questions, or I believe Dick Milius from DNR is online also.
Yes, we have Dick Milius, and looks like we have a couple other folks who want to testify. So let's, Representative Stoltz has a question for you.
Well, no, Mr. Chairman, I have one.
For Mr. Milius. So when he gets on.
All right. Any questions for Amy? Ms. Seitz? Is that your last name?
Yes.
Seitz. Okay. I see no questions. Thank you very much. You're anxious to leave that seat. Okay, let's go ahead and go to public testimony. Dick Milius. go ahead and hear from you first.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Hey, this is Dick Miley. I'm the Acting Director of the Department of Natural Resources Division of Mining, Land, and Water. DNR has worked with Senator Wagner's office on this bill, and we support it. I'll just give a little background on why we think it's the bill's necessary. In most instances, we have to sell state land through a competitive process that gives Alaskans all an equal chance to purchase it. Preference right sales are an exception to that. It allows DNR to only offer a parcel of land or an interest in land to one specific individual, usually somebody that already occupies the land legally. In this case, we're offering a preference right to purchase the remaining rights to the land where the parcel is already, the agricultural rights are already owned by the Merritt family. Parcel is near Hope on the Kinnett Peninsula. The history of it is that the original purchaser, Ross Miller, had a Forest Service permit back in 1955. When the state selected the land under that grazing permit, the Millers had made some improvements to the land. They eventually applied for the land, but because they had originally started with a grazing lease, DNR decided to only sell them the agricultural rights. That was, I believe, in 1978 or 79 or so. And so the only rights they purchased to the property are the agricultural rights. They wanted to subdivide the parcel, but under state law, if a parcel is smaller, an agricultural parcel smaller than 40 acres cannot be subdivided, and this parcel happens to be just under 15 acres. So there's no way they could subdivide it under existing state law that we could sell them the remaining rights. This bill is very narrowly focused because there was concern about opening up the bill, or the bill has there this approach in theory could apply to other parcels of agricultural lands where we may, which have agricultural values, and we don't want to sell those remaining rights. So the language in the bill is very, very narrowly crafted, and the most significant part of it is that it only applies to land that the state acquired out of the National Forest, which is the Chugach or Tongass, so it would only apply to agricultural parcels of a certain size that are in the acquired from Chugach or Tongass Forest, which is very limiting because we didn't acquire much land for agricultural purposes out of the Chugach or Tongass. So with that, I'll just say, like I say, we support the bill, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. We do have a question, Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Chairman Meyer and Director Milius. I think you partially answered the question. Are there any, other than the folks that are referenced, are there any other parcels that might be out there? Are we looking at a fairly narrow group of properties that can you, I guess, how many other properties are we potentially looking at, or if that's quantifiable?
Representative Stoltz, through the chair. We have not identified any other specific parcels. We think there might be three or four parcels at Gustavus, actually, that might qualify. But like I said, that since it only applies to lands out of the National Forest, it's limited to basically the eastern Kenai Peninsula, Prince William Sound, and then southeast. And we have not sold hardly any lands with agricultural restrictions in those areas.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's... So it looks like this is, and we need the legislative approach to do this surgical focus without actually identifying the name of the person, but it's probably only going to affect one or just a couple of people ultimately.
Representative Stokes of the chair, that is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Representative Stoltz. Any other questions for Mr. Miley? Okay, seeing none, then let's go on to, is it Erica Miller from Hope?
Yes, my name is Erica Miller, and I'm the granddaughter of Ross Miller. I'm currently living in Hope, and I'm in support of SB 55. I think it's a good resolution to this land issue. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Erica. Chuck Graham.
Hi, I'm a member of the Finance Committee. My name is Chuck Graham. I'm a resident of Hope. I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, who's a principal in this matter, and we strongly support this bill and would ask you for your support as well. Thank you.
right, Jeff. Don't see any questions. Appreciate you staying with us this afternoon for your testimony. Is there anyone else online to testify? Okay, seeing none. Anyone here in Juneau? Seeing none, then we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Any amendments? See any amendments? Any discussion? Okay, let's go on to the fiscal notes. I'm not sure I completely understand these fiscal notes. Mr. Miles, you're still on, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Let's see. Is it fiscal note number two you have as indeterminate? Can you explain why that is?
Mr. Chairman, the reason for an indeterminate fiscal note was our original fiscal note was a zero fiscal note. Somebody pointed out that the state actually would make some money through the sale, so that part deals with the fact that we would actually get some revenues off the sale.
Okay.
So good indeterminate.
Okay.
Appraised fair market value, so we don't know how much that is yet.
I understand. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, what the honors of Representative Hopper?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As it does affect part of my district, I appreciate that very much. Mr. Chairman, I would move from committee CS for Senate Bill number 55, Finance, with the attached indeterminate fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay, any objections? Seeing none, the bill passes out of committee. Senate Bill 200. Okay, so we had the public testimony on this. I remember this. We wanted to spend a little time here to perhaps work on an amendment. It looks like Representative Hawker has come up with an amendment. Would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move conceptual amendment number one. I object. Just
go ahead, Representative Hart.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is a it has my name on it. It's been worked up in conjunction with my aides and the aides to the committee here. This addresses the issue that was identified on page two, and in the area of sort of convoluted, but where you would deny someone the ability to make a claim of self-defense. And there's a particular language in here that says that you cannot avail yourself of a claim of self-defense if you're defending yourself with a firearm that you could not possess as a result of a conviction for a felony. The amendment gets the fact that this, to me, really raises an equal protection under the eyes of the law issue, where there are any number of reasons, or many reasons under federal statute, where it is illegal for a person to possess a firearm, not just for a felony. But you know, being a fugitive from justice is a reason that makes it illegal for a person to possess a firearm. So here, the way the language in the bill is currently written, that guy who, the hypothetical, where the guy may be on the lam for murder, he can still avail himself of a self-defense plea, but after he's been caught, taken through court, and is convicted of the felony, he can't avail himself of the self-defense plea. So we looked at a number of ways, so it needed to be all one way or the other. Either for if it's illegal for you to possess the firearm, or you possess a firearm that is illegal by definition, universally we make that exclusion, or we go the other direction and say, you know, in this case, it's not, that's not what's at issue in this bill. It's not what's at issue in this bill is the right of any human being in the state of Alaska to avail themselves of a self-defense plea, whether or not they have been convicted of a felony or whatever. And I get to the hypothetical here. Someone who has a felony DUI conviction, technically prohibited from possessing a firearm, they're visiting whatever someone's home. The home is invaded. They use a firearm available in the home to defend themselves and the home, and they can't avail themselves of a self-defense plea. So there are just so many conundrums on both sides of this issue, and after lengthy discussion amongst ourselves, we'd ask the committee to contemplate that this particular provision would be best stricken from the bill so that the effect of striking the provision would basically say that every human being in the state of Alaska, regardless of your other than these other issues being discussed in this particular case, that is, you know, avails themselves, can avail themselves of a self-defense provision or self-defense plea, recognizing we've still got some other restrictions in here, but this was, I felt, the most egregious limitation.
Okay, very good. Mr. Stankliff, could you join the committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Stankliff, and to Senator Theriault.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on this amendment?
Well, I would simply say that it was not part of the original bill. It was put in as part of the process along the way, and we're fine with this amendment as that it makes it more consistent with what we originally introduced.
Okay, Representative Kelly.
Just the other day, you or Representative Hawker mentioned, I think it was like Florida and as two states that were an order of magnitude tougher on this issue. How did they treat this?
This was not part of the Florida model, which we modeled our bill after. I'm not sure about Oklahoma.
Okay. So this Florida did not have, Florida would, Hawker's trying to do.
Yes, it would.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Okay, any other questions or comments on the amendment?
I'll remove my objection.
Okay, objection has been removed. Anyone else? Okay, then the amendment, conceptual amendment number one is accepted. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, this amendment's fine.
Okay.
I just have a question for Mr. Stanford.
Sure, you bet.
We didn't get a lot of time to talk about this, but I saw the same exact problem with the gang-related section, Section C, that's right above it. And I know you and I haven't had, our thought was we would work on this and ask about the constitutionality of it before we go to the floor. So if you don't feel comfortable with trying to answer or deal with it right now, that's fine with me, and I'll hold off. But if you do, I just wondered if you had any, you know, problem with taking out that section. It's the exact same problem. For the first time now, we would be dealing with a person's identity restricting them from being able to use a self-defense rule. And that's just a change of 350 years of common law, where it's all about conduct, and I think that's probably unconstitutional. But I couldn't reach the Attorney General, who was with us yesterday this morning, to ask about it. So I'm willing to withhold it, but if the sponsors, you know, feels that they don't want to take that risk and they just as soon see that out of the bill, I'd be happy to move to do that right now, because it is the same exact problem. I mean, I realize gang-related, you know, incidents, gang members are not very popular, and I understand that, but technically and constitutionally, it's really the same problem. So I'm happy to wait, but if the sponsor felt comfortable, I'd move to take that section out, too.
Actually, we may have Ms. Parks online.
Oh, is she on? Oh, great. Sorry,
yeah,
Susan.
Yeah, she's
do online. You have any comment about that, Susan? I didn't get a chance to get through to you this morning, and I wondered.
Thank you for the record, Susan Parks, Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Division. You know, I think in looking at these exceptions to when someone can use self-defense, the Section C that Representative Kurtula is referring to doesn't just deal with identity, being in a gang, but there's more to it. There's actual conduct involved. It requires that the person is acting alone or with others in revenge for, retaliation for, or response to actual or perceived conduct by a rival or perceived rival. And so there's more to it than just being a member of a gang. This does not say that because you're a member of a gang, you can never use self-defense. You have to already be taking some sort of revenge or retaliation action.
Can I ask a question about that? I thought about that, and I understand what you're saying. But actually, you don't have to be in revenge or retaliation. And herein lies maybe we do need just to work on this. Because it also is for or responding to actual conduct. And that's what self-defense is all about. So you could have a gang member, they're responding to actual conduct, and then again you put in another twist was to a rival. So I realize you've limited it down, but still, you could actually be in a true self-defense mode because of that actual conduct. Aren't I right about that? And again, I don't want to take the committee time if this is going to get too much, but that was my concern, and that's where the constitutional concern for me at least comes in.
Through the chair, Representative Curtula, I understand your concern, and my recollection from speaking to Mr. Guinelli about this bill is that there was a lot of effort put in to try to come up with language. It is fairly difficult to come up with language that will go after the situations. Again, as we discussed previously, the shootout situation, and everybody points the finger at the other side as having started it. And so it may be that some tweaks be made to this language, but I can tell you that many states have similar kinds of provisions in terms of geographic restrictions and things like that have been upheld that have to do with trying to control gang activity. So I think there are ways to make it constitutional, which seems to be your concern, while still getting at the conduct we're trying to prevent.
I'll be happy to work with you further on it. I see what you're saying, and I think that something like that would be fine. What I really question is, the identity being the determinative factor of whether somebody can bring a self-defense claim. So I'll talk with you before this goes to the floor. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Petula. Representative Stoltz.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the issue of gangs has been one of the kind of catching points in here and not creating a loophole, as I recall. So it's kind of getting this coming and going, and whether or not we should try to close a loophole where gangland violence can be called self-defense, and now we have to worry about the constitutional protection of their identity and their ability to wear their colors and show their behaviors. Frankly, I'd just soon litigate that if we have to. I know the constabulary in some of the jurisdictions I represent have said, the way they've responded, they've seen when they saw some gang activity occurring, they marched down the airport and restricted with their constitutional right to travel and told them to go home. I mean, that's and I just assume they litigated that right to travel rather than, it's been, I don't know which we're going to get this issue with gangs. Either we're trying to close the loophole or we're trying to protect their constitutional rights, and yet both polling. I guess I'm comfortable with this tenuous compromise we have. And I just assume let's litigate a constitutional issue if we have, and I'm very comfortable asking our Attorney General to defend that.
Very good. Any other questions, comments? Want to welcome Representative Wyrick to the committee. Representative Hawker.
Sir, I would say that I agree with where Representative Stoltz was going. I would have said it differently, but I agree with where he's going.
Okay.
You see a lot of it differently than I do.
I guess the way I'd say it is that it doesn't bother me that it's a little risky being a gang member.
All right. I guess we all have our own ways of saying things. Okay, very good. Any other questions, comments? Representative Hawker, appreciate your patience in working with us.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Stancliff. All right, Representative Hawker. All right, Representative Wyrick.
I thought if I came in a little late, so I'm not sure I assume what Representative Stoltz was saying is if everybody just stopped hating and loving each other, we'd all have a better world.
Yeah, we are. That was my Rodney King speech.
Okay, we're deterring quickly here. Representative Hawker.
Really, the credit for doing the right thing on these is always goes to our staff far more than ourselves. But I would ask the committee move House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 200, Judiciary, from House Finance as amended with the attached, and I believe these are zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, bill passes at committee. Thank you.
Chairman, committee members, thank you.
Sign the yellow sheet here.
Black belt.
We do not need to meet again till Monday at 1:30.
Yay.
We're caught up for the most part. We do appreciate you guys working with me to get through the backlog. Next week, though, I think you can expect some time. Having to spend some time, quite a bit of time, on a PPT or tobacco. We'll be bringing up the tobacco bond again. But as far as Monday goes, at 1:30, we will have House Bill 375, Retirement Benefit Liability Account. I believe that's yours, Representative.
Yes, sir.
Wyrick. Darn good bill. Is that right?
I think it's a good bill, a hard board bill.
All right. Okay. House Bill 306 is Hatcher Pass to Matt Sioux Valley. That must be Representative Stoltz. Are you involved with that somehow?
Yep. I'm dragged along. I'll bring my enthusiasm.
Yeah, don't be so overly excited about your bills. Okay, and then the Senate Bill 308, the railroad revenue bonds that we heard this morning, we'll bring that back up. Okay, if there's nothing else come before the committee, we're adjourned. Sorry, I should just ask you.